Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt. So what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about body image in the queer community and body image in the witch community. And I feel like as two plus size people, we have a lot to say on this topic.
Yeah. The worst part is I already kind of hear, like, you are...
You hear the backlash
already. Yeah. You know, you're telling people it's okay to be fat, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, even though, like, it is okay.
It is, yeah.
But we'll get into that. So, where do you... Do you want to start with the queer thing first, or do you want to start with the witch thing first?
You know what? I'm going to do it reverse. Normally, I do the thing that I have more to say about second, but I'm going to kind of reverse it, because as far as the witchcraft thing, so we're going to go with witchcraft first, because the queer thing, I can go on for hours about this. I have a lot of thoughts. The witchcraft thing, I mean, you know what? A lot of people kind of, there's a lot of jokes about, in particular, about the men of paganism and witchcraft. There's a lot of, like, fat jokes that kind of come along, you know, like, they say, it isn't true, but that, you know, most men who are practitioners of magic or witchcraft event or whatever, paganism of any of its incarnations, you know, there's that running joke that all of us are fat.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that, because honestly, I thought the running joke was all of you were, like, twinkie gay men. Or does it go both ways?
I mean, we're normally... I guess it's more like you're either really fat...
Or you're like a...
Or you're gay.
Oh, you're fat or gay.
Yeah.
Okay. The two genders. Fat and gay.
At least...
The two genders.
Which is funny because last year at our Pagan Pride event, we had...
Some
interesting people. There's a church here in Philly that enjoys going out and protesting things that they feel are against their God.
It was a good time.
One of the things that they said that got my goat, that made me react the worst when I got angry, was I didn't care when he started calling, you know, fags and all that stuff.
No.
I didn't care about that. Excuse me, like, for using that word.
We're not, like, using...
I know, but just, I know people can get offended, you know, sensitive about it. But when he did say, however, why are all of you people fat something? He called us fat, like fat, insert curse word here. I knew there was like a curse word somewhere in there. I don't remember.
I remember hearing that, because I was working the event, so I was more concerned with, like, everyone get the fuck back in, because, you know, please don't give these guys anything.
So even...
But I think the fact that I heard that, and I was like, like, I was like, you bitch.
So even people that are outside of our circle kind of have this idea that male practitioners of magic tend to be overweight, which, as I said, is not true. I mean, of course, obviously there are overweight people who practice magic, but that doesn't mean that there are,
It doesn't mean that to be a male practicing witch, you have to, like, pack on the pounds. It's not what that means.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And as far as, like, what body image looks like, I mean, in the witchcraft community, there's one instance where some people have found it offensive, where there is a particular... obviously, I'm not going to name anybody, but there's a particular, a shop online, and one of the proprietors is an artist, and he...
Do I know this shop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. and, you know, some people feel as though he only feels that beauty is found within, like, a chiseled man with...
Oh, okay. So, like, if you don't look like a Greek god, you ain't shit.
Right. And I don't necessarily know if they actually think that way or not. I'm not calling them out in any way. I'm just saying that people thought they thought that way.
Oh, okay. So people thought that this person...
People.
these, okay, so
there are a couple.
Okay, so people thought that this particular couple only saw, only defined male beauty as, like, the perfect sculpted male body.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as, like, actually, like, experiencing, like, fat shaming and whatnot, that, for me, is always, always, without a doubt, come from the queer community.
Yeah.
I've never been fat shamed or body shamed in any way in the pagan or witchcraft community.
No, I have not been body shamed or fat shamed in the witch community either, that I can say. But I feel like there is a bit of body shaming in other ways, though.
Oh, yeah. Like a passive aggressive, like a, almost like a microaggression.
Lots of more microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want me to jump in now?
Please.
Okay. So, in the witch community, I think one of the first things, and I think this really does, this is sort of lifestyle, but it's also kind of body image. So, diet. A lot of witches, pagans, however, you know, whatever, a lot of people do tend to go vegetarian or vegan because they, you know, they got hang-ups about using animal products or, you know, they just feel like it's better for the earth. I mean, yeah, there is, like, science and a lot of facts saying, you know, if everyone went vegan, it would be better for the planet or whatever the case is. But I'm sure there's stuff on the opposite side. But speaking, we should definitely, I feel like, as a species, eat less meat than we do. You know what I mean? Because our meat consumption is kind of out of control. But I feel like there is a lot of shaming for dietary choices within the witch community. It's almost like, you know, like, well, if you're not a vegetarian, you're not honoring the earth.
But I mean, that's also, like, a very big, like, I mean, and
it's,
I guess
new
that's
age.
To say,
it's a little bit of a new age concept too, I think.
I mean, I would say that probably comes into it just because of a lot of, well, a lot of veganism is, I mean, there are two different sources of veganism, if you will. There's that
the political one.
Right. And then, you know, there's that more, like, there's also, like, the new, like, that, the more, I think the political and that new thought, you know, like, the earth and healing the earth and blah, 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 whatever. Not that that's wrong. But I think a lot of vegans in general, whether pagan or not or witch or not, are very vocal and sometimes too vocal.
Yes, they tend to be more vocal about it. But I think it's just a lot of the vegan or vegetarian witches that I've encountered really make, they, like, their dietary choices, they make it a part of their own personal craft, which I think is totally cool and awesome. But the thing about, that I love about witchcraft in general is that we are not preachy, and we are not, we don't seek to convert people, but the people that, the witches that are vegan, vegetarian, that I have encountered, they tend to be very preachy, very, very this, you know. And here's the thing about me is I am totally open to vegan foods and vegetarian foods. Like, I know a ton of, like, restaurants, like Philly, like Blackbird Pizza is one of our favorite pizza places.
Yeah, it's really
and
good.
It's vegan, and it's amazing. Not sponsored, but maybe.
Please. You, all of you working there look like witches anyway.
Right? You're all queer, witchy people. With delicious vegan pizza.
But, no, but seriously.
But, yeah, so, like, me personally, I try to do, my roommate's vegetarian, and, you know, that's fine. I mostly eat vegetarian. Mostly. It's just, like, when I'm out or whatever, it's just, like, easier to not eat vegetarian. Just because of options.
I mean, and the
but
thing
I
is,
don't have a personal craft hang-up about it.
Right. Now, I personally, I don't see a problem with eating meat. More so red meat in particular is what I more have a problem with. Red
but
meat,
you're talking about through a health perspective or through, like, a witch perspective?
Through, like, a health perspective. Yeah. I really have no, like, as far as my witchcraft is concerned, I really can't talk. I have human finger bones upstairs. Like, I mean, not that I ever would have the ability to do, like, an animal sacrifice, but in some indigenous traditions, even in, like, European traditional craft, some would argue this, but it's there. It can't be really disputed, you know, but, like, I couldn't do that. But, like, if I found, like, roadkill, like, I wouldn't have a problem, like,
cleaning the bones,
macerating the bones and, like, you know, keeping the skins or hides or whatever.
But you wouldn't be the guy out in your backyard, like,
skinning thing like that. Like, and not, and
killing a lot of chickens.
Not to say that I think that's a problem either, because I don't.
It's just that it's just your personal craft.
Right.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before in terms of deities that kind of whisper about sacrifice in some way. You know, like, you get those whispers, like, they're like, I need, I want, and you're like, I don't know, I can't give that to you. Like, I can't. But I'll find a way to kind of give that to, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, anyway, like, but my biggest problem as far as, like, health-wise, red meat is my biggest problem. I don't like how I feel
after I eat
red meat.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while I do need it because it's higher in iron.
Yeah, like, I think now I've gotten to the point where, like, I would rather have a nice cut of a steak versus, like, a burger. Like, if I want red meat.
Yeah. Which is why, like, I mean, I'll never be veggie, although I love vegetarian food. I love vegan food, but I would never take meat out of my diet.
Mm.
But I have taken red meat, for the most part, out of my diet.
Yeah.
So, like, turkey, chicken, things that are, that populate quickly, I feel like are kind of okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, just from, like, see, I've always been interested, because, like, in America, we're pretty boring with our food choices. You know, we got chicken, we got turkey, we got, you know, whatever the hell comes from a pig and a cow, and that's pretty much it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I've always thought it was, like, super cool, and also, like, in a spiritual way, like, to try, like, alligator, or, like, snake. Frog legs, or, you know what I mean?
It's so funny, because we've also talked about this, too. Mm. You know that I morally get funny with that.
Right.
You know, I get, like, I don't know if I could do that.
Right.
But that's just because, like, for me, I don't look at an alligator as appetizing.
Right.
I think he looks at me.
Like, you're appetizing. Like,
I'm appetizing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, I really do, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that I really think, like, as far as, like, health and diet, it really should be about you. It's your personal...
About your
body. It's your body, your choice, you know, your ability to say, this is what I want for me.
Mm-hmm.
And having that autonomy and not having to have someone inject themselves into your life and say, no, you're doing it wrong.
Right, but also at the same time, if you do choose a particular diet that you want to follow, it's also, like, mind your own business and don't tell other witches that their craft is invalid if
right.
they still eat meat.
And
the other way around, too.
Not for nothing, though, like, with this concept of, like, witches don't eat meat
mm-hmm.
is kind of historically ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if
absolutely.
We look back at the texts that we do have, and there are texts, like, they do exist,
mm-hmm.
there are many a times where they are feasting on cow and bison.
Lamb and boar. And
like, you know, like, whole feasts dedicated to the gods, different holidays, Saturnalia, Lupercalia.
And those animals
and these
were,
are, you know, just Greek.
Were killed in... honor and sacrifice to those gods.
Right. And, you know...
And consumed and offered to them.
Right. It was like, share with us this bounty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to say that a witch is less connected because they care less about animals, you know, that one is insulting just for me because I have 7 cats and a rabbit.
Yeah.
Who I'm dedicated to. So I love animals.
Yeah, absolutely. I love animals, too. Like, honestly, I think sometimes animals are better than people. better companions than people sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely more therapeutic at times,
yeah.
too. So that, I guess that's my opinion as far as the witch community goes. I mean, which, I agree, that seems to be the biggest theme, is that the veganism not as connected to... whatever. Although they also do say that one thing, which I think is ridiculous too, now that I'm thinking about it,
mm.
where they say that your magic isn't as strong if you're fat, like you can't work, like...
I've never heard that.
Yeah, like they say, like, if your body is not physically fit. However, I will say this, and this isn't to say anything, this is for me, I'm speaking for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the gym... 2 to 3 years back, and I lost, like, over 50 pounds.
Right.
I did find that my gifts were, like, my ability to see were clearer. I did find that my magic seemed to be...
Well, because your body is the physical vessel in which you manifest those powers.
Right. However, that's also to say that this is my body. I have always been one to say that when it comes to magic and our perception and our experience of it, it's an individual experience.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not trying to say that, you know, that's the same way for everybody. There are people... Like, there was an author... His name was Peter Patton.
Mm-hmm.
He was highly respected, and he was a bigger gentleman. He died, unfortunately. He passed away. However, he knew his stuff, and he was an incredibly respected, very powerful, modern cunning man, and practitioner. So, to say that it's always the case that, you know, your fatness reduces your magical power or whatever.
It's really not always the case.
Yeah, and I would also say it definitely is, you know, person to person.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Experience.
I think it would be fair to say that the healthier your body is. Because, you know, you can't just really go by fatness versus thinness.
Right, because fat does not always mean unhealthy.
Exactly. Like, you know, if you... Like, there are people who are chronically underweight and just, they have ridiculous metabolisms and they can't gain weight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh man, like...
And there are people with thyroid problems who can't lose weight.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of it is like, the healthier your body is, I would say that it's probably accurate that the more heightened your magic is, the more aware you are of things.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's pretty true. But I think this also comes back... Okay, so still on the witch community part.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking... So because we have a presence on Instagram, I've been seeing a lot more witchy Instagrams now. Because that was... Like, initially I was just following, like, trans people, queer people. That was, like, kind of my Instagram scene, my own personal one.
Yeah, I was always witches, though.
Yeah.
But,
But I'm seeing more, and I'm noticing that... A lot of the imagery that I'm seeing, like, are these very thin, athletically built, white people. Is a lot of the things that I've been seeing.
I mean,
seen a lot of, you know, thicker people, darker people, anything like that.
I will say, I mean, I see a lot more diversity just because, like,
Also, that you follow more people.
Right. But I mean, like, as far as, like, you know, looking up, like, gay hashtags on Instagram, you tend to find, like, gorgeous men of all varying awesomenesses.
It's okay.
But...
Calm down.
I was like, I'm calm. I was like, oh, you think I'm thirsty. I'm not thirsty. I have my own water. But, I will say that it is always kind of finding bigger gentlemen on Instagram. I mean, but let's be real. We all kind of look at that stuff. You have to be looking for it directly. Otherwise,
yeah,
it's always, it's always men who are in the gym 6 to 7 days a week.
Ripped.
Completely ripped, you know, 6 to 8 pack, you know. Perfect, and not to say it's not fun to look at, because who doesn't like eye candy, but, it you know, you want to see that representation, you want to see yourself, as sexy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because it makes you feel good, it's not necessarily about other people finding you sexy, sometimes it's honestly more fulfilling.
Honestly, I don't even think it is about other people.
I was going to say that, I don't think it is about,
I think
it's about you.
Like, when I look in the mirror, I want to be like, I do me.
Yeah. I mean, it's vain, and a lot of people find that vain, but I think that that's true. I think it's about, you know, I asked my boyfriend this, I think, recently. I said, are you attracted to yourself? And he said, kind of.
Really?
And the thing is that, I mean, I can only do so much. When I tell him, well, I think you're really sexy, I think you're beautiful. But the thing is that I understand that can only really do so much for someone.
Yeah, because if he doesn't see himself as sexy and beautiful and handsome and whatever, then
right.
it's only going to, like you said, it's only going to do so much.
He has to see it right in himself.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, is, it's funny because this kind of gets kind of leads me back into witchcraft in a way where it kind of leads to witchcraft as empowerment, mm-hmm. and witchcraft should empower you as a whole being, mind, body, and soul. It should empower you to say, yeah, I'm big, I'm beautiful, and I'm okay just the way I am.
Okay, but let's stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you say I'm big and beautiful and that's okay, right, of course there are going to be people crawling out of the woodwork, cracking their knuckles, getting ready to, you know, type their comments. So what do you mean by that? Are you, so, okay, like, okay. They're going to be like, oh, well, being overweight is statistically this and that, and then you're unhealthy, and then you're at risk for this and that and a third, and you're going to be like...
I'm doing it right back. I'm like, let's go! You want to go, Glenda?
Glenda.
Let's go. First off, there is science to suggest, yes, that heart attacks, things like that, sure.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic here. People go towards diabetes.
Right.
That is not based on body fat. That is not how that works at all. Mm-hmm. I've known people
that are born with it.
Born with it. I've also known people who are, who have eating disorders, who are also diabetic.
Right.
So you can imagine with, you know, with their experiences and the kind of body that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, that's where all those people are going to go, is diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to call out heart attacks or whatever, but you want to know something. When a man turns 40, no matter what his size is, he becomes more likely to have a heart attack. So, like, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can look at, for instance, I know a lot of people do this, but I'm going to do it because it's true. Sumo wrestlers. Those men are physically fit.
They're in top shape. Tip-top shape.
They're physically fit.
Oh, yeah. They're big as hell.
But they're physically fit.
But they're physically fit, yeah.
And that is where that whole argument...
Or, like, football players.
Football players, too. You
yeah.
can use football... Not,
they're
you know,
huge dudes.
I think a lot of people figure that, like, underneath of all that thickness is, like... six-pack abs, and that's not always the case.
No, like, it's something that's just...
It's muscle,
it's just chub
but it's
and muscle.
Fat. Yeah, and, you know, I think, too, that people get really offended by the word fat.
Yeah, well, it has a negative connotation.
But and the thing is, like, I've totally reclaimed that word.
Really?
I love that word.
I'm
so... That's right, you are.
Yeah.
For me,
well, because
that...
usually the, like, you know, like, someone's, like, being a dickhead to me or something like that. The go-to insult is fat dyke.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
a fat faggot for me. But you want to know something? I'm okay with fat, and you know what? You know why though? It's just because I've had obese thrown at me.
Oh, I don't like that word either.
That word hurts me
it's
more.
Medical. It's clinical. It's ugly. It's textbook.
But the problem is, they throw it at you. They throw it at you like a weapon.
You are obese.
You're obese.
Die.
And
yeah,
they say it, like, the face scrunches, you're obese.
Yeah.
Obese.
The best is when you have a fat doctor telling you that you're obese.
Is this a personal experience?
Yeah.
That I've never actually had.
Well, no, okay, so, I guess this is kind of like getting out of the witch thing, but anyway, I had a gynecologist years ago. I went to the gynecologist and... She's like, you are morbidly obese. And I was like, great. As if I didn't know
that already. Right. Right. And then blaming, you know, of course, in the stereotypical.
But then she basically told me to develop an eating disorder. Like, she was like, oh, for lunch, I have like 6 almonds. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, she was total garbage. I don't go to her anymore, as, you know, you can tell.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't go to her anymore. But the thing is she was so fucking hung up on my weight. That she couldn't see past that.
Everything becomes overshadowed.
Everything
now, I'm very thankful the doctor that I have is, she's very kind. She's a nurse practitioner. She's very kind, very intelligent, and she doesn't do that at all.
Yeah, I like my family doctor now. My new gyno is also good, too.
That's good.
Yeah, she didn't get on me about the weight. Because, like, but because of that experience, I had problems with, vertigo a couple years ago. I had gotten like this horrible case of vertigo like 4 times within 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't walk or anything. I was just like, I can't function. So the one morning I woke up and my parents looked close to me. I was like, Mom, you have to take me to the hospital. Like I can't function as a person. And she's like, okay. So anyway, it was a whole thing. But when we got to the hospital, the nurse was overweight. All three doctors that came in were all overweight. They were all women, too. I noticed that. They were all overweight, youngish women. But because of that experience at the gynecologist, you know, when the doctors went, oh, do you have any medical problems? You know, do you have any illnesses? Other than being obese, I'm fine, as far as I know. But I would always preface it with that because I wanted to let them know that I fucking know. Don't tell me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt the need to kind of, like, lay that down.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very blessed to not have to do that so much. The only time I got that, which I will admit was not a horrible experience, when I got my gallbladder removed.
Mm.
Because being overweight can harm the gallbladder.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, and it's, like I said, it's not to say that being overweight doesn't cause health issues.
Yeah, there is scientific evidence that it does.
But the problem is that there are health issues that are also acquired.
Right.
On the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So I think the problem is, you know, you look at fat people as disgusting, and then you look at overly skinny people as... Let me coddle you. Let me hold you. Not coddle, mm-hmm. but like let me help you.
Yeah, exactly. You know that's really true because like you see, you know, someone who's like rail thin. You can count their ribs, and you're like, oh my god, bulimia or anorexia. Like your mm-hmm. mind automatically
they
goes
call
there.
It. Yeah.
You know, your mind automatically goes there, and you're like, oh my god, like I want to help you. I love you. You know, like let me. How do I fix you?
Yeah.
How do I fix you? I guess that's what it is. How do I fix you? How do I make you better?
Mm-hmm.
But then you see someone who's overweight and you're like, oh, that, well, not saying me, but you know, just like people in general, they're like, oh, that fat cow, you know,
lazy,
ate himself into diabetes, haha, one Snickers bar away from death, you know, it's like, well, maybe that person has a bad relationship with food. Maybe that person has a thyroid problem.
Maybe that person has depression.
Maybe that person is depressed. Maybe that person just needs a friend. Maybe they need a workout buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you don't know, but that initial reaction of, let me help you, let me fix you, let me assist, is not there.
Right.
When you're a bigger person.
Right. And you know what, I know that might, you know, be a little bit touchy for some people, I guess, just because, you know, there are a lot of thin people, too, who have different experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I do have friends who do have eating disorders,
mm-hmm.
and
but I know people that are plus size that have eating disorders as well.
Okay.
I'm not talking about overeating, but like you can be bulimic and still overweight.
That's very true. That is very true.
You could be anorexic and still overweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you haven't been anorexic for that long. And you're not rail thin. But
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, eating disorders, you know, stop and start at different intervals for people.
Yeah. I think as far as, like, just to kind of, like, bring this back just real quick,
mm-hmm.
And the witchcraft thing. Witchcraft, in general, has been very accepting of my body.
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft as something I do has definitely been very accepting. It's not like the spirits are over here, like...
Go to the gym, fatty.
I mean, they probably, like, if it's something that I desire, they would bolster it.
Right.
And they have been. I've been getting back to the gym.
That's actually kind of what made me think about this topic.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you were getting back to the gym, and I have been going through some big dietary changes, and I've been going to the gym as consistently as I'd like, but I have been getting back into it.
Mm, you have.
I've had body image, like, on the brain. Like, I've lost 20 pounds.
Congratulations.
I'm still big, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still overweight, but I've lost 20 pounds. My pants are hanging off my ass. not that I have much of an ass to begin with, but, like, I was like, oh my god, I gotta really pull this belt. So, like, I'm already noticing that. But, and I think that's another thing I noticed, is, like, but if people would still call me fat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, you're fat. I'm like, I lost 20 pounds, though. And but, you're, like, almost seeking that validation.
Well, you know what? You know what, though? I mean, I guess this can kind of lead us into, organically lead us into kind of just, like, the queer, or just, like, the health in general.
Yeah, I actually, because I wanted to talk a little bit about food, relationships with food.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I say we just kind of go where we have to go with this. This is going to take us anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
Health-wise...
I have, like, a list.
health-wise, though, I mean, even the, what is that called, the BMI... Like,
yeah.
BMI charts?
Isn't that garbage?
They are, yes. BMI charts are notorious for being, they're completely dictated by beauty and, like, body standards of the time. And they fluctuate depending on what's seen as...
Yeah, because I whatever. Think, I don't know what my BMI is supposed to be, but I know that for me being 5 feet tall, I'm supposed to be 100 pounds.
My mom and I looked at it, and
I would look ill.
My mother and I, we both looked at it, and she's like, this is ridiculous. My mom did a lot of health and nutrition classes in college. She was actually going to do, like, a nutritionist job. It was, like, a course that she can take, and she was going to get certified. But
well, she's a phlebotomist now.
She is.
Yeah.
But she was going to do that. But my mom is very...
She's like a professional vampire.
Yeah, she was going to do this nutrition thing, but she's very knowledgeable on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And when she looked at it, she's like, this is ridiculous. She's like, she said, just for her, and my mom has lost a lot of weight. My mother was big and she lost tons of weight.
Yeah, your mom looks great.
Yeah, she gained a little bit
really,
back.
I didn't really know her when she was bigger.
Yeah.
But she...
You did meet her more when she was in the middle of all losing and stuff.
Yeah, she but
dying.
she looks really good.
Yeah.
She looks really good.
Yeah. But anyway, she was like, I would get sick. Like, I was always bigger than my mother, even at her biggest. But, like, she was like, I would get sick trying to drop to the weight that my BMI tells me I should be.
Well, do you know what yours should be?
I forget. I did look at it, and it was ridiculous.
I always remember mine because it's easy. It's like 5 feet, 100 pounds. Like, because it's, you know, it just kind of like goes together.
I just remember my mom and I talking about it. But, I mean, yeah. So I guess what I was just trying to say is that there are certain cultural standards that maybe infiltrate, like witchcraft and things like that. They infiltrate sub-communities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're an overarching cultural standard.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm trying to get at here?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm making sense.
No, that makes sense. So, I think to kind of bring it back to witchcraft, I kind of want to bring it back to that. So, I recently had a meeting with a nutritionist. I'm able to get 6 visits a year with my insurance. So I was talking to a nutritionist. I was like, fuck it, let's go. Now, most of the stuff that she gave me was kind of like, I could look up this shit online myself. Like, you know, half your plate should be vegetables, and, like, the quarter of your plate should be that. And I'm like, obvi. And I love vegetables, so give me all of them. But there was this one handout in this folder that she gave me that really clicked with me, and it was... Tips for mindful eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mindful eating. Because normally, like, I view food as fuel. Like, it's either I crave it for the taste of what I want, you know, for that pleasure of eating that flavor, or I crave it because if I don't eat, I'm going to pass out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just kind of how it goes for me. It's like, I'm so hungry, we'll die, please feed. Or it's like, I want a burger right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I need it, you know?
Although with you, literally, you could.
Yeah.
You literally could die.
Yeah. I could die.
Yeah, literally.
So, like I said, it was this mindfulness thing, and it immediately made me think of Cakes and Ale.
Mm-hmm.
In ritual.
Hmm.
And I remember you saying, when we first started doing things as a coven, you were like, you were a little iffy on certain things, but you were like, I always liked cakes and ale. I always liked that part. I remember you saying that. And because it was just, it is a moment of mindful eating. Like, yes, it's in a spiritual context,
mm-hmm.
in a religious context, but it is a moment where you're like, because you're saying, bless these cakes and all the hands seen and unseen that have brought them to us.
Yeah.
So, it's like, oh my gosh, like, you're thinking about it for that moment. Like,
mm-hmm.
wow, like, a lot of work went into this food, and a lot of, and then now I'm eating it and bringing it into myself. And so that's something that I think, in my own personal craft, and also just in my own life, that I want to try to incorporate more, is mindfulness of eating. Like, I'm not really accomplishing that today because I consider drinking as part of eating, and I'm like drinking a Monster, zero calorie, no sugar. You know? It's not the best, but whatever. And I'm just like, oh my god, I'm tired, need caffeine. But at the same time, I'm like, oh well, my body's tired. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm thinking about it. So like I'm working on it.
It's
not an overnight.
It's interesting that you said that, because I don't think I would have thought of it. But like, you know, I tried to introduce like the idea of like a housel or the red meal
mm-hmm.
into the covenant, and I think you were somewhat interested. It was just a little more complex than cakes and ale. So you said for the sake of coven,
to keep it simplistic, ritual?
But I do like in general cakes and ale, the housel, the red meal. Just because I love that idea of, I've always loved this, like, the concept of sharing a meal with the spirits, sharing a meal with the gods,
mm-hmm.
that kind of, like, look what we made, look what we brought you,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of imbibe with us, or, you know, feast with us, and I like that a lot. It just feels good, and you know, to a lot of people, you know, like, they end a ritual with that, but I mean, like, for instance, like, for the housel or the red meal, that in and of itself can be an entire ritual,
mm-hmm.
Which is what you said when I kind of brought it to your attention.
Yeah. Also, Samhain, the dumpster.
Which is where you do, like, the red meal, right, which is, mm-hmm. I mean, you could do the red meal at any time, but it's a really good ritual to do for some.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is interesting. I mean, and my therapist and I have been kind of working on that. Because
you said that historically your relationship with food has not been.
Oh yeah, I used food to. I think I said in a previous episode I live with mental health complications,
mm-hmm.
and I live with depression and anxiety, and a lot of that makes me use food as a means to feel better.
To cope with those.
Mm-hmm. To cope with the feelings. Yeah.
Which I get.
Yeah. So what my therapist has been working with me on is mindful eating. Mm. She said, like, to sit down with my... Like, when I sit down to eat, we're working on experience, just being in the moment.
Yes, that's what I was reading in that paper thing.
Not to give... No critiquing, no attachment to the moment.
Yeah.
To feel just how you
be
feel.
In the moment.
Just be there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge it. Don't critique it.
We never lit the incense.
I did. I lit one.
Oh. Oops.
So that's something that I've been working on, which is helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So now on Friday nights, which in my house is pizza night,
mm-hmm.
Instead of four slices, it's two.
Good.
And I've been doing that for over a month.
And maybe, like, eating it slower.
Slower.
And being aware of, like, the flavors.
Well, I also realize now, like, when I eat pizza, I know this is blasphemy, especially if you're from, like, Philly or Boston or wherever, but I rip now. I rip the pizza. Like, I put it in my plate and I rip it, and I eat it, like, in bites.
Really?
Sometimes. I don't
That's
do it always.
Cool, though.
But...
Because it makes you eat it slower.
Yeah.
You don't do the fold anymore.
I mean, I will. Like, especially, like, you know, like, if I'm going out or something, or if I am out.
Yeah.
Like, you know. But,
Sometimes, though, pizza's too greasy around here. You gotta, like, take that grease off the top layer. with your gallbladder.
Grease is my thing. But, like, the worst part is I love pepperoni. And, you know, like, I'm old school stuff.
You seem vivid. Me too. I got my own problems.
So,
me some carbs.
I know.
Can't have the carbs.
Yeah, that's true. At least I can have some carbs.
Well, in
light carbs for me.
Yeah.
But that's just because I have to lose weight.
And we both do, which I think is cool that, like, you're back on this, like, losing weight gym kind of kick. Because, like, I'm also kind of there, too.
You are.
And, like, you know, we live in opposite ends of the city.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, being workout buddies is, like, difficult, but we can, like, support each other through Instagram.
Yeah, we totally can.
Yeah, which is nice, and it's a good feeling. And we are both, and you know, we're coven, so it's like it's a different relationship, and it's just like, I support you. But I think I mentioned this before, is I would like to do a coven ritual that was focused on achieving our body goals.
Yeah, we talked about that,
and I would like, and maybe we could do like a spell segment on that or something.
You remember the spell idea that I had for that? The clay effigy?
Yes,
and
the clay. I didn't know if it was your idea or my idea, because I was like, I had the idea of clay, and I was like, I don't know if it was whose idea it was.
I don't know, how dare you? I really wouldn't have cared. But like, but I know you liked it a lot.
Yes.
And I know you elaborated on
yeah.
it, but like, you know, that taking away of you know, layers and
yeah.
kind of building yourself up to be, and I like that.
Yeah, I still want to do that, and I think, you know, especially with, like, the summer coming, and, like, summer barbecues, and, like, summer's, like, a huge deal. I don't know if it's the same in other places, but for some reason in Philly, like, after Memorial Day, it's, like, all barbecue all the time until Labor Day. And even then, you continue to barbecue. Like, it's just all the meat.
I mean,
and all the smoke.
My mom actually barbecues up into October.
My dad, one time, he barbecued in a hurricane and a blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like,
oh, wow,
stringing up some tarps. You know, we had this like little like roof thing. And he was stringing up tarps.
I mean, I don't think my mom. I mean,
he was
would
out there
that,
in his winter coat, fucking. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's America. Maybe it's Philly.
America.
Yeah, I don't know. We love our barbecue. But with barbecue season approaching, I think it's a good thing to keep our body goals in mind. You know, not like get too caught up in the barbecue craze.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for barbecue.
Although, believe it or not, barbecue is actually better for you.
It is, yeah, technically. But the problem
grilling is
like all the salads that accompany it.
No.
It's like, you know, you got, like, your wings, but it's like, have some pasta salad, I made this macaroni salad,
oh,
I made
yeah.
this potato salad, and you're like, I hate you and all your salads, but they're so good.
But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's that. So, you know, relationships with food, mindfulness, that's kind of the things that I've experienced in the witchcraft community, is there is some toxicity regarding diet. There is some toxicity regarding, like you said, like, chiseled men versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, all witches are fat men, or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
So that's just, like, in the witch community. Now, in the queer community...
Oh, boy. I'm about to go in.
It's rough.
Let's do this.
So, the queer community and body...
Oh, man.
Yay.
Should I go first or should you?
I don't know. I guess you...
You want me to take over?
Yeah,
all right.
Go ahead. Go first.
So,
we both have a lot to say. So,
yeah.
I mean,
so...
This podcast is going to be like 3 hours long.
So, as we discussed in a previous episode, I had a pretty decent coming out experience. However... The experience of being young and gay, and then, you know, being in high school and experiencing other gay high school kids, a lot of the gay men in my school were very beautiful and very,
very fit
and perfect
yeah.
or whatever.
I would just
were
like
not.
To point out, I think perfect in air quotes.
I never mean like,
yeah.
you know.
Because I'm sure some of it, what do you mean perfect?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Perfect. They, you know, and they were very unsupportive.
Of you being gay?
Of, like, it was almost like if you're fat, you didn't have the right to be.
That's fucked up. That's really fucked up.
Yeah. A lot of them had, like, it was very, like, gatekeepy.
Well, it's interesting because, like, from the lesbian perspective, though, it's kind of like, it's a little bit more accepted to be bigger and thicker, especially if you're butch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, the thing is that, like, you know, I didn't find the bear, you know, the bear community until later on. I didn't know that thing that existed until much later on.
Oh my gosh, you start finding all, like, the subsections of the gay community, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, once I found the bear community, I was like,
hello.
It's here, it happened, I found home!
Hello! Roll out the red carpet, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it really did feel that way, but there were many experiences in which, like, they won't, like, I wasn't even, like, trying, I mean, you know me, I would have never tried to hit on anybody, but I was just trying to be friendly, and, like, gay men purposely would ignore me. Mm. Like, on purpose. Like, I would be, like, right here, hi, how
like,
are
were
you?
Were you at, like, a club or something? Is that what you're talking about?
I remember one time.
Because Pride is coming up soon.
I was at a GSA picnic. And I was with my friends, and someone came over, and...
GSA, I remember that.
We were talking, and I remember, like, I was like, hello. And they would only talk to my friend Anthony and my friend Wanye, who were, I mean, I suppose Anthony definitely was in a lot better shape.
More conventionally attractive.
Yeah. And I was just... Like, he came over and introduced himself to us. Like, I thought he was being polite. And then he would not talk to me at all. And I can only imagine what that would be, you know. It was pretty obvious, like, when you're right there and someone's saying hello and you're not responding.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah. And I mean, although a lot of people would be like, oh, well, you're just making, you know, assumptions. Well,
yeah.
I can make an educated guess, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't born yesterday.
Right.
Is basically what it comes down to.
And that things like that have happened. And of course, you know, the general overarching, you know, no fats, you know, no femmes.
Oh, yeah, no fats, no femmes. Like
no black, no Asian, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just... The racism and the misogyny.
That's just toxic bullshit. I mean, you know, you really do break the mold, though, for being a gay guy. Because, like, okay, so you're... Size, big, chub, whatever. I don't know.
I mean, do you mean what do I call myself in the community?
Yeah, like what do you...
I'm like a bear or like a chub.
Bear, chub. Okay. But you're also dating a black guy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you're just got everything going on. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's always been my experience. I've always kind of, like, I've always been very much against the grain. I remember... one time...
God, you can even be gay properly.
I'm very pariah by accident.
Yeah.
I don't mean it. I remember one time I was at a bar here in Philadelphia called Taboo. It's actually one of the nicer gay bars, in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw a drag performance there.
Yeah. I was actually there during a drag performance. Well,
sometimes
I remember...
they had this furry group there, too, that
they
like,
do.
Would do.
They do. So,
pretty cool.
I was there with one of my exes, and... one of my exes saw a friend there, and the friend was talking to me, and, at first I was like, okay, you know, I was very polite. I try not to judge people when I first meet them.
Right.
But being, you know, clairvoyant, it's pretty hard sometimes. Sometimes I know you more than you know yourself.
The problems of being a witch.
But anyway.
In the gay community.
He gave me some mooky vibes, but I was being very polite. Well, anyway, he was like... So do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race? And I was like...
Who doesn't?
I actually said, you know what? I don't find the show interesting. And...
I'm just kidding.
I think I smacked his ancestors. Like...
You went back in time and went...
And that's how he reacted. He was like, oh. And he turned away and walked away. I mean, that wasn't a fat thing. He was just catty bitch. But like...
What is it? Is it a requirement to love drag?
I don't know. But anyway,
I mean, I love drag. Honestly, okay, I love drag, but I have a distaste for drag kings, and I know that's a problematic view that I have. Drag queens, I'm like, yes, bless, do whatever you want. You all look fabulous and beautiful. But drag kings, I'm like,
I have no problem either way. I love the art of drag.
The art and of drag all of its is incarnations. Cool, but I think it's just my own, like...
Yeah, it's your own thing. I get that. But, of course, that wasn't, like, a fat thing, so I don't want to get too involved in that story. But, sure. I mean, just in general, you know, representation in what little media gay men had, you know...
At that time,
which, you know, believe it or not, wasn't a lot. I mean, it increased a lot more just in a short couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and just the general, like, standard of beauty in gay culture. I mean, we have a big problem with body image in gay male culture. Well, men who love men culture, at least. And, like, we have a lot of body dysmorphic type of situations. We have a lot of anorexia.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't a lot of them have bulimia. Eating disorders? Or they turn to certain drugs.
Drug to, use you know. To yeah to lose weight and things like that, a lot like models do. Mm-hmm. And that those are really big problems in this community.
I think I don't want to get into too adult topics if it's not, you know, this isn't like an adult podcast, this particular episode, but I think porn sets a lot of expectations as well. Yeah. You know, like everyone's gotta look like a porn star, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. And sort of like a hyper-sexualization of gay men in particular.
You know, which is ironic because I have a very good friend of mine who lives in New York. He's a jewelry maker and jewelry designer in New York. And
with the pretty eyes.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah.
I love his eyes.
He's also a witch, too.
Oh,
and
You're pretty. You know who you are.
Oh my god, I gotta show him this now. He's friends with a lot of, like, big name porn stars, gay male porn stars, and you wanna know the irony is that...
Yeah, I think New York is one of the places on the East Coast.
None of them support the idea of looking at them as a definition of what gay men should look like. They're
really?
More humble...
Interesting.
Most of them, I mean, I don't want to speak for all of them, but the ones that, like, I've heard about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the person that we mutually know, the one I went to high school with, you know, he's doing porn now.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I was seeing on, like, some of his older Instagram posts, people were like, oh, how do you get that sexy bod? Like, what do you do in the gym? And, like, people were just kind of, like... I guess the person wanted to know, but it was also, like, being, like, kind of thirsty about it. And he basically responded. He was like, honestly, I mean, abs are really made in the kitchen. And he was just saying, you know, it's really about your diet more so than just, like, go. He's like, I love the gym. I work hard at the gym. Mm-hmm. But I also really pay attention to what I eat.
And realistically, we both know him enough to know, like...
He's
if I were to go
around.
Up to him, like, and say
him.
Hi or something, like,
yeah.
And he would hug me, he would totally spend time with me, like, he's mm-hmm. humble as hell.
Yeah, he is very humble. So, I mean, that's just him personally, but I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
like, that's really interesting that you mentioned that you know, these people that we glorify, you know, that we put on this pedestal, like, these beautiful porn stars, you know, we admire them for their beauty, but also they're, like, you know, this... It's their job to look beautiful.
Right, and they know, a lot of them, I keep saying all of them, I don't mean to speak like that, but a lot of them know that, or
like,
enough of them
if
know
it
that.
Was my job to look like that, I'd look like that.
Right, right.
I would care
and if you got
a
paid,
lot more.
If you got paid as well,
yeah.
You'd also look like that too.
All right, ideas. If you want me to look beautiful, send me money,
right,
and I'll do it.
Right. You know, and it's funny because, like, you know, the particular star that he was talking to me about, who he actually spends time with at the gym, like, they go to the gym together sometimes, that particular star liked my first picture when I went back to the gym the other night.
Wow.
Right? I mean, of course, as a gay man, of course, I was like, oh my god!
I
was like, yeah, Zaddy, but like, but no, realistically, it proved the point, though. You know what I'm saying? It proved.
I can feel Darian. Like,
silent. He's like, oh, fuck.
He's at work, he's like,
I feel him being thirsty. No, it isn't for me. No.
A water bottle comes flying in nowhere, hits you in the face. Hey, you're a little thirsty.
But really, though, it proved what my friend was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, this particular star is a nice person, and he was supporting a bigger guy losing weight. You know what I'm saying? And,
and there's also, within porn, there's also, like, bigger guys.
There is. I mean, but once like again, I think what, right, it's the niche thing. You have to be looking. And that's kind of where, right, and that's kind of where we kind of,
that's the problem.
That's
so
where we
kind of
skate that weird,
it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, even when I started getting into dating, I had to learn the difference between somebody who was interested in me for me, and someone who was all like, oh, I love big guys, you know, send a picture of your belly, blah, 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 and like.
It's kind of weird.
Right, and I'm kind of like,
okay. Some people are into it, though. Some people are
I mean, it's not to yuck anyone's yum, you know, but I don't want to be fetishized.
Right.
And if I am, I'd rather be fetishized by, like, maybe, like, if it's a partner, someone I'm already with, and they, like, want to, you know, participate in a fetish, you know.
That would be fine.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
But that's just because I know that they already love me for me, and just expressing a fetish isn't harmful. You know what I'm saying? At that point, because you know they're doing it because they love you, not. Whereas, like, if it's just, like, to meet somebody and you're automatically addressing them or almost talking to them objectifyingly, it's offensive, you know? Like, I'm not just a big guy. Like, I'm not, like, a big doll that you can just.
I'm a person.
Right.
There's feelings under this fat.
Right, right.
You know, like, that's essentially what it is.
Right.
I would say that the trans male community has, some similar issues to that of the,
I have noticed this.
Gay male community, I guess, put it that way, gay cis males, however you want to put it. Trans men kind of have the same thing, but it's twofold. So, with trans men, see, for me, I am a very hetero-identifying trans
right,
man.
You're a straight trans man. Right.
You know, I'd like to believe there's some wiggle room somewhere in there, but, like, I don't know. I can appreciate a beautiful man. I just don't know. I definitely would not have a relationship with a man. I wouldn't do that. But maybe, I don't know. Experimentation? Maybe. I feel like
so, like, maybe, like, a hetero-flexible somewhere?
I don't know. Something like that. But mostly women. Beautiful. Bless. Love the women's. So, So when you are a trans man and sort of like in that hetero identifying way, there is a lot of pressure then put on you to go to the gym, eat your protein, bruh, and pack on a shitload of muscle. When you're 5 feet tall, what the hell? Like, some people pull it off. I don't think that would be the best idea for me.
I mean, like...
Like, to have a gigantically... Like, I'm talking, like, they want you to go, like, full bodybuilder fucking status.
A lot of them.
And they're like, look at my gains. And I'm like, you know, I'm happy that you're taking this route and you want to go there and this and that. But do not shit on other people.
Yeah.
For it. But the other side of it is, a lot of trans men will go hyper-feminine. Like, they're taking tea and everything, and, you know, they're getting facial hair, and, you know, they're getting, you know, some kind of, like, muscles, because it makes your muscles, you know, more defined and stuff. But they're, like, painting their nails and putting on lipstick and, like, going hyper-femme, maybe going more of, like, a non-binary route.
Like a gender...
Yeah.
So, queer, gender queer, Is that what you were trying to get?
Yeah, sort of like a genderqueer kind of perspective is, I think, what a lot of trans men... Those are the two extremes that I see. There are people who float everywhere in the middle.
Of course. I mean, we can't...
But those are the two extremes. It's the ones that either go super hyper-femme and they do this whole, like, I am whatever the fuck I want. And that's great. Super empowering to you. And then there's also... I am super muscular and buff, but then the most prevalent thing that I see is white, thin, androgynous sort of look to a lot of these trans men, and I just it bugs me to not see myself often represented, like my body type,
mm-hmm.
with trans men. But then when I do see myself represented, I feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, like, a little bit of shame.
So,
like, if I see a bigger guy, like, post a picture, like, in just, like, just wearing, like, boxers and, like, a binder. Like, they haven't had surgery. Just wearing, like, a binder. I'm like, oh, do I look like that? It's a terrible thing.
It is.
It's a terrible thing to think and feel. Like, I don't look at that person and I don't go, oh, that person's hot. That person's sexy. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know?
It's I think, remember that quote I was just telling you before we started?
What was it again?
Psychologist about? Don't overinvest yourself, basically, in your own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're imposed upon you.
Oh, yeah, like, don't go too far down your own
path. Yeah, like, because they're able to be changed. They're a community,
right.
You know, they're communally imposed upon you,
yeah.
And it can be changed at any time. But you have to remember that that's exactly what those thoughts are.
Right.
The thoughts of, like, when you look at that and you mirror it back and you see yourself in them and you say, oh my God, you know, what's wrong with me? I don't find that attractive. It's just because you're going through stuff in yourself.
Yeah, like, I was always thinking, like I know... Like, again, I don't want to get too adult. Like, some couples will, like, film themselves and their partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, for their own, you know, watch it or whatever. Some people do that. And I'm thinking, man, like, I don't know if I could do that.
Mm.
I feel like, maybe I could do it, but I'd never want to see it. I'd be like, yeah, that's for you. Like, you keep that. I don't. Because I feel like I would look at myself and be like, oh, my, no. Full stop. Like, no one wants to see that. I don't even want to see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I guess, I don't know if I'd call that transphobia, though. Like, my aversion to seeing bigger trans guys. I think it's more of a body image thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing
that I was thinking... And this doesn't... It kind of goes into body image, but also kind of not. Is, like, of not being trans enough or gay enough, like, in just your personality. Do you ever encounter that?
I mean,
I feel like it's kind of related to body image, because I feel like men who tend to be smaller and thinner are viewed as more feminine and gay, quote-unquote.
Well, one thing I realize, at least... this is probably more like... personality, but I mean, if I guess it fits, like, as far as, like, a nerdy gay men,
mm-hmm.
there's this almost attack on nerdy gay men right now in the community, because it's almost seemed like it's popular now to be nerdy. You know, Marvel, you like Marvel,
oh,
you
yeah.
like
I mean,
DC, whatever.
Nerd culture is blowing up right now.
Yeah, and
it's cool
a lot of guys are kind of like. Sites and stuff, you'll find, like, you're not cute if you know, like, it's not cute just because you like Marvel. Like basically they'll say, like, they're trying to make it as if nerdy guys are trying to be nerdy to be cute.
Oh, yeah, that's garbage.
And, like, they'll kind of, like, come at them for it. And I'm like, no, they like what they like, and you're just uncomfortable because
you
automatically, because they automatically, like, a lot of, it's funny, because I've noticed that there's gay men who feel like it's like that man child syndrome.
Mm.
They think, like, you know, you're the kid who didn't grow up all the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas, like, it's really not the case,
mm-hmm.
realistically. You just, you're nerdy and you're geeky. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There have been times where I've read those kind of.
I think that's more just about like finding someone you're compatible with. Issue though, you know what I mean?
It's still kind of, you know, I know that's a more, yeah. Not body, but like it is, you know, it's a thing.
It's related, yeah. I'm just thinking of just a way to wrap it all up. I think there are a lot of overlapping problems in the queer and witch community.
Oh.
In terms of body image. One of the things just in representation of bigger people and representation of people of color. I think we do have some problems. Like, I don't know what I mean. I think we do have some problems there, for sure. Mm-hmm. More so in the witch community, I have gotten more flack about dietary choices and things like that. Not so much in the queer community. In the queer community, honestly, in the queer community, I think it's like, what do you mean you can't go shot for shot with me? It's like, yeah, I can't. Can't drink you under the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna try.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Because there tends to be a sort of, like, party animal angle in the queer community.
There does. There is. Yeah.
I mean, it's there. Because, okay, like, Pride is coming up. So we're recording this. Our recording date is, what was it, the 24th. We are recording this May 24th. You probably won't see it until, well, into June. But whatever. So this recording date is May 24th. Pride is coming up June 10th.
Yep, in like a couple week?
Couple week.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So Pride is going
for Philly is coming up.
For Philly, yeah. For Philly. Which, we are going to do a whole thing on comparing gay pride and pagan pride.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do a whole thing. But what I was getting at more so is I can't wait because one of the most rewarding experiences, I was kind of like against pride for a while because I was like, it's boring and it's hot and like.
And it's all about cisgendered white gay men.
Yeah. But I've removed myself from pride for a few years and now I'm going to go this year. I'm going to go. Are you
going
to go?
I'm going. I just, you know, I just wish my boyfriend was going with me this year because it would be his first pride. So.
A little babe.
I know. Love. It's like a rite of passage. You just kind of.
Tell him to call out. That's what you're supposed to do on Pride Day.
He already just recently called out, so.
I have words with him. Anyway. So, the whole thing with Pride, why I haven't gone is because there is this focus on, like, white, cisgender male bodies or whatever. However, I have seen, like, thicker women just wearing just, like, bikini tops. Because it's June. It's hot. It's hot as shit.
I've seen them with, like, little tape over their nipple.
Little tape over the nipple. I've been seeing this more lately. And I'm like, oh my god. Like, these are bigger people.
Yes.
Showing their bodies.
Yes.
And I'm like, not that I'm going to do that. I'm just not that kind of person.
I know.
I'm going to be sweating my ass off.
Yeah. I'm going to be dying and I'm going to have, like, a lot of sunblock.
Like, so much sunblock. Like, I'm going to look pasty white with sunblock. Like, on my nose. Maybe I'll get a little, like a dad hat, you know. Actually, no, I'm not going to wear a hat because I don't have a hat line. Bad idea. Don't let me wear a hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a hat line?
Like, okay, so I often wear a hat backwards, but it covers, like, this much of my forehead. So then, like, this part of me is tan and this part of me is white.
Oh.
Bad.
Do not do that.
Yeah, no. Remind me. If you see me with a hat, I'd probably just go, bitch, no. Take that off. But I have noticed in Philly Pride in particular, and Philly is, like, not primarily a white city. I mean, we're really culturally and colorly diverse.
Mm-hmm. We have, like, so the whole new pride flag thing. We have brown and black stripes.
Oh, do we know? Neat.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do want to go to the parade, too, in addition to the after thing, the thing you got to pay for.
The only thing about that is it's $15.
It's $15 now?
Yeah.
Oh! Oh! Fuck you, Pride. I'm not going. I'm no, it's fine. Whatever. I'll fucking pay for you.
Thank you.
That should be. Anyway, but Philly has been pretty good with just like seeing different body types at Pride and people like dancing and just like enjoying themselves. And I think it was kind of going off the party thing because once you get into the event area, the $15 event area bullshit, you can drink. Well, they serve alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm sure people drink anyway. You know, like water bottles full of various things.
Been there, done that.
Not I.
Oh, I did.
No, I definitely did. It's just drinking in the heat. It's just like, it's exhausting.
Yes, you need to eat. You need to
hydrate.
Yeah.
But, I think it goes hand in hand with the queer community because it lowers your inhibitions. And already being a queer person comes with a certain level of like, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to restrain. Is it okay? Is it okay to be myself in this situation? And on Pride Day, it is absolutely okay to be yourself in whatever way you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see a lot of people just doing whatever the fuck they want. And it's a beautiful, moving experience if you can filter out the gay drama that is circling around you.
When you see, like, five of your exes, I'm like...
and you're like, hello.
You're like, 1 second.
And you're like, who are they with? I'm cuter.
I'm so much better than that.
But yeah, so... in terms of body image, which community, queer community, there are a lot of overlapping issues. That is definitely for sure.
Yep.
And I think being a queer witch, you know, being in both of those communities, sometimes it can be a little emotionally draining to navigate both of those things, especially when it comes to body image, because... You know, we're as witches, you're supposed to have this idea that, you know, your body is a temple, your body is a vessel in which you manifest your magic. And in the queer community, it's, you know, this is your body, this is your pride, this is the visual representation of yourself. It's almost the same thing. It's like, this is the vessel in which you manifest your queerness.
Mm-hmm.
Your
queer magic. I get that. I was thinking that, too.
Yeah. So, I think a lot of progress can be made. And the most important thing is that there are avenues in which conversations are happening, such as this podcast.
Mm.
Not that a lot of people have watched it so far, but whatever. Or listened. Whatever. Yeah, definitely. So, I guess if anyone wants to continue the discussion, you know, just leave some sort of story, comment about, you know, anytime that maybe someone knocked you down for your body image, or maybe just, you know, really made you feel confident in yourself, and you know, whether it was in a queer community aspect or a witch community aspect, we would really like to know, and we just have a conversation about that and see how we can improve ourselves and improve how we feel about ourselves as witches and as queer people.
Totally.
Yeah. So, I guess we will see you guys
next time.
The next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.